Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
And welcome, everyone, to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams, and with me, as always, my good friend, Matt
Renshaw.
Matt, how are you today?
I'm feeling pretty Western.
Western. I see that. You got your cowboy hat on, your little plaid shirt.
Trucker hat,
whatever. Bandana. It's audio, so I was just kind of letting people paint their own picture. You know what I mean?
You could do that too, I guess. I almost wore a Dallas Cowboys hat.
Oh, that'd have been hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. You know what's not hilarious? What's absolutely super serious? DiceTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
And that's who we are brought to you by this week. And every other week, really.
Every week. Forever.
Every week. Matt, week two. It's in the books. We're starting to see some things. We're starting to see who the pretenders were in week one. Who the contenders might be in week two. Pretty interesting stuff.
You feel bad for anybody?
Feel bad for any professional athlete?
Yes.
No.
I feel bad for one professional athlete.
Who?
Tyrod.
Tyrod Taylor?
Dude cannot catch a break.
Well.
Oh, I mean, he breaks a lot of things, I guess. Like a long.
Dude's had breaks. Like, let's come on. He was a starter for the Chargers for how long? How many games? He had a season.
Zero.
No.
Herbert. And then he popped his lung. Oh, the year previous?
Yeah. Year previous. When Philly Rivers went down. When was that? Either way, he's had breaks. He's just never been good enough to
take advantage of those breaks. Baker Mayfield. Then he got replaced by Justin Herbert. Yeah. Now he's getting replaced by Davis Mills. But I want to hear your family story before we talk about terrible rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah, we probably should. We probably should. Do you want to start? You usually start.
I can start. Speaking of starting, we just did our first Tooth Fairy experience.
Oh, the first one?
The first ever.
Wow.
But yeah, so I don't know what is like protocol for the first one.
Oh, I have all the facts.
All right, give me what's your protocol first Tooth Fairy?
See, Emily is way hardcore about you have to like sneak in and you have to somehow like do the whole Mission Impossible thing. And you have to figure out how to take the tooth out from under the pillow and replace it with money. And I think that's crazy.
Okay. That's not what we did.
Good.
Cause that's like, you could lose the tooth. What if you lose the tooth? You can't get it out from the pillow, and then the kid finds the tooth.
You throw it in a bag or something first. It makes it a little easier.
It was my idea. I said, well, we put it in a cup by your bed.
Oh, that's genius.
Then you just take the cup and pop the tooth and then put the money in.
And then you just burn the cup because that's disgusting.
No, because the cup holds the money.
You burn the cup the next day.
No,
throw it away. That's gross.
Did you keep the tooth? Do you keep the teeth?
This is why I don't come over to the Renshaws, because you're gonna give me the tooth cup.
No.
I'm not drinking out of the tooth cup.
It's like a Red Solo.
Oh, like, so you gotta throw it away anyways. What's your problem?
We did. But it's got to hold the money. Yeah, but if it was a glass cup, no, you just wash it.
I would throw it away.
So do you keep the teeth? What do you do?
Oh, I don't keep them. That's not my thing. I don't think Emily keeps them. She's weird, but she's not that weird.
My parents kept them. My dad, for whatever reason, we found them years later.
Ugh, so yeah. Gross.
I was like, what are we going to do with all my baby teeth?
Yeah.
So we tossed it. We tossed it.
Ugh.
But yeah, we did $5.
See, there you go. And we
covered it with glitter.
Oh, okay. Well, that's.
And wrote a little note.
Little extra, but okay.
Whatever.
I hate glitter. Gets everywhere.
I didn't do it. My wife did it.
Well, hey, yeah, it just gets everywhere. Glitter, not a fan.
But I kid you not, she lost the first one. The next day, the tooth next to it is loose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they also kind of they start falling.
We're not doing like $5 for the second one.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. You what? Set that precedent now. Now you have to
get the first one.
That's not how this works. That's not how this works. You don't get friend prices now. It's you pay it up.
Welcome to the club.
No.
And here's your refill of a dollar.
Nope. No. See, $5 is great. Like $5 is right where it should be. More than that's too much. Anything less than that's too little.
$5. You mean $5 a tooth?
Yeah.
Wow.
Emily tries to cheap the kids out and give them like a dollar and stuff. I'm like, no. We got $5 tooth fairy money. It's okay, baby.
I was at five for the first and a dollar for every tooth after.
Our tooth fairy can pay these bills. Go ahead. You give them $5. You give them that Lincoln.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll take that information back.
Yeah, you do that.
So what's yours?
The wife and I actually just celebrated our 5-year anniversary this last week.
Congrats.
Yeah, I can't believe we made it. Seems like longer. just kidding. To celebrate, we took a day off, and we went down to Kansas City, Missouri, and went to the Auschwitz exhibit.
How'd that go?
It was an experience.
Probably somber, right?
It was somber. It was an experience. It was a tremendous experience, though. It was a great learning opportunity. It's extremely well done. We were really blown away with how well I don't know, set up it was. Like it had its issues, but overall it was a pretty remarkable experience. It was weird. If you haven't been there,
it's
really dark. It's underneath the
Union Station. Are you being serious here?
I'm being dead serious. Yeah, okay. I'm not going to joke about it.
Okay.
So it's at Union Station in Kansas City. And so you go to the lower level and it's dark. And what they do is they give you headphones. I've never experienced this before. So they give you headphones and they give you like this little touchscreen iPad or iPhone looking thing. Like it's really small, almost like the old iPods used to be, right?
Okay.
So you walk around and that has like chapters on it. So numbers, for like the different exhibits or the different artifacts that you're going to see. So you click on one of those and then the narrator explains like what you're actually looking at. And there's numbers on the walls for all these different things. So that was really cool. So the eerie part is the whole place is just quiet.
Yeah.
Because everyone's listening to their own headphones. And so it's really different. No one's on their phones. No one's taking pictures. It's a bunch of people just being quiet, like taking this all in. And there were different age groups. I mean, it was all over the place. It was really busy, but like there's different ethnic groups and different ages and different, just everybody under the sun you could possibly think of were represented there. And it was really cool. It took us like 3 hours to walk through the whole place.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a really big deal.
This isn't meant to be a joke. I'm 100% serious. Like, was there like a concession stand or something to eat?
No. It was a very somber like vibe. You walked in, you got your stuff, and you just went on this journey through
history.
Yeah. Just like how it all started and how just the different stories for, they even have like videos and stories from survivors. And that was excruciating just to hear about and to try to understand. And then they ended it with, I don't want to ruin the ending, but the ending was pretty touching as well. Provided a lot of closure to it. And it was a hell of an experience. It really was. So if anybody has a chance to get down there and take a look at it, I highly, highly recommend it. I believe it's actually, I don't know when it ends, but I know it ends soon. Like it's not going to be there forever. So. Try to take advantage of it. Try to go out there and take a look. And it's great. One thing that really surprised me.
Kansas City in December. So if it's there,
it's so worth going to see. I don't remember what it costs. Emily set it all up, but it was super cool. Like I just glanced at their website. Like adults for like $23 to go see it.
Nice.
So it's not terrible. But it's one of the things that really really stood out about the whole trip was there was this one exhibit where it was the it was a little kid's shoe, like little kid, like the age of our girls. And the shoe had a sock in it, just rolled into it. And so you're listening to the narrator, and it's not funny, but the way that they did it was just kind of a dark, it almost had like this dark humor vibe to it. It was just like, so obviously they make you take your clothes off. They made all the Jews take their clothes off before they stepped into these chambers, and they thought they were going to get a shower, but obviously it wasn't. We know the rest of the story.
Yep.
So the narrator says, perhaps the shoe was taken off the child by its mother, calmly caressing, and the mother placed the sock back into the shoe because she believed they were going to come back and put the shoes back on. And then there's this pause, and you're like, oh man, that's really depressing. And then there's this pause, and then he goes, or perhaps the shoe was ripped off of the child forcefully so fast that the sock was just left in the shoe. Like, that's just what happened. And you can almost tell when anybody looked at that exhibit and they heard that, because like people were just like, oh, like you just see the air being left out of everybody's like, oh, and like people were crying at that exhibit. And it was just, oh man, it's just gave me chills. It's something I'm never going to forget.
Yeah.
But we got awesome gifts afterwards for our anniversary though. So that kind of made everything better.
What a segue.
It was for real though. One last thing. It was really worth it. It was extremely well done. If any of you have the chance to go see it, I highly recommend it. It was, while it was sombering, it was an amazing experience. An amazing experience. So
I'm a history buff. I kind of like that stuff. I'll have to go. If it's there, we'll go check it out.
Yeah. Highly recommend it. And I'm sorry to start the podcast off on such a less than humorous note.
You should have gone first and then let me come in.
I should have. But I really want people to know that stuff's awesome. That was a really, really great experience. A tremendous learning opportunity. Learned a lot. So if you have a chance, go see it. Matt.
Like, do we end the show now? Like,
no, we can't end the show. We can't end the show. We're going to just turn this around. We're going to turn it around big time. We're going to talk about the only player that makes my heart happy, Jarvis Landry.
But you're going to talk about bad news with him.
Well, see, I was trying to turn this around. You're not going to let it happen. The Browns placed wide receiver Jarvis Landry on injured reserve. He'll be forced to miss Cleveland's next three games. His first injury-related absence since being drafted in 2014. That's pretty impressive. I had no idea that was a thing for him.
I didn't either.
After being hurt on the second offensive play of the game in week two, now all eyes turn to Odell Beckham, who is reportedly trending towards making his triumphant return on Sunday against the Bears. Matt, I'm assuming Odell Beckham gets the green light from you if he's active, but what about Higgins, Peoples-Jones, and Schwartz? Oh, that's gross. A great sign.
Isn't it gross?
No, it's not.
Oh, who are you? I mean, obviously, I'm firing up Odell.
And that's what I said. I think everybody, Odell's just that kind of talent guy.
If he's like, going to start, yeah, with no Jarvis, if he's absolutely active,
yeah.
Yeah. Why is this not good news for Hooper?
I think it's good news for Hooper. I just didn't include him in the list. I think Hooper's going to see some more targets for sure.
Who are you picking out of Higgins, Peoples-Jones, and Schwartz?
Okay. I'm glad you asked. I would not be surprised if Higgins has a decent day by Higgins standards, right? Like, I don't think he's going to win you a league. I think he gets you points. I think he has a fairly high floor, but not a high ceiling. I don't know. It's weird. Peoples-Jones, I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. Peoples-Jones is absolutely the guy to replace.
You're a Michigan man. Yeah. And you're not picking Peoples-Jones?
I'm not in on Peoples-Jones is no Jarvis Landry. He's nowhere close. I know he doesn't have to be, but he's not going to fit that role. I am so excited for Schwartz. I wouldn't start him, but I'm so excited for Schwartz because Schwartz was totally drafted as like the Jarvis Landry 2.0. He's a fast slot dude. I mean, he's just really good at route running. He's really, this is his absolute opportunity here. He has 3 weeks to make it happen. Hoping that Schwartz does something.
What about Demetrius Felton, the running back / wide receiver / return man /
two catches last week and
two touchdowns?
Yeah, I know. And you know, Anthony Schwartz, about him? Anthony Schwartz had one target and no catches last week. So I'm scared.
I think I'm more hyped for Felton than I am for anybody else.
I really hope Schwartz gets an opportunity. You can't start him. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying go and pay everything you have in your fab budget to get him. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I really hope he gets an opportunity because I think if he does, he could shine. That's all I got to say about that.
All right.
There's a lot of really weird news this week.
You're like our Browns expert.
Well, I don't know about that, but.
Well, of the two of us, you're more hyped on the Browns than I ever am.
I like Jarvis. You know that. I'm a big Jarvis Landry fan.
Let's
talk Tua. Tua Tagovailoa, probably.
Turn the ball over.
Tua, turn the ball over. I like it. He's going to miss the Dolphins week 3 game against the Raiders. Turn the ball over. His injury was originally characterized as bruised ribs with the quarterback day-to-day. After further testing, head coach Brian Flores today described the injury as fractured ribs, with the team taking it week by week. Jacoby Brissett will start in week 3 against the Raiders and their top-graded pass rush per Pro Football Focus. Now, with Brissett under center for most of the game, the Dolphins produced the second lowest EPA per play in week 2 behind only the Saints. They were the least efficient offense in the league on dropbacks. All Dolphins players should be downgraded this week, according to Roto World. Matt, what say you?
Absolutely. I think the Dolphins' whole team should be downgraded as long as Tua's out. And if we think about this, you know who's really happy right now?
Who?
The Philadelphia Eagles, because they have the Miami Dolphins' first-round pick.
Well, I mean, they were looking pretty okay. You know what I mean? Like the Dolphins looked bad last week too. If
Tua's out for an extended period of time, that's a top 10, top 15 pick at worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say so.
They're doing okay. And Wentz is going to start. So they've got, I don't know. I think it's really good for the Eagles.
Raiders D is absolutely a play this week, right?
Ton. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brissett looked good once. Upon a time, but not lately. I mean, he was a goal line back for the Colts last year. Not good. Stay away. Don't play any Dolphins. Gross.
Matt, a name that has been all over the place this week for fab budget purposes, Cordarrelle Patterson. Now, yes. He rushed 7 times for 11 yards and a touchdown in the Falcons' Week 2 loss against the Bucs, but he also added 5 receptions for 58 yards and a score. Patterson quickly proved his heavy Week 1 involvement was not a fluke, garnering touches in a number of critical situations, frequently near the goal line. Patterson's rushing score was a 10-yarder off a pitch, while the receiving was a 7-yarder after he leaked out following an excellent block. Patterson did have a red zone miscue, fumbling a wildcat snap, but nevertheless, he was the back the Falcons went to in the biggest moments, not Mike Davis. Davis did still win the touch battle 16-12, narrowly outgaining Patterson 73-69. A Falcons offense direly low on both running backs and pass catchers is going to have to keep Patterson involved. Matt, I need to know, what is your evaluation on Cordarrelle Patterson?
Man, I'm all over it. I love it. They're gonna manufacture touches for the guy. I'm still in on Mike Davis too, but I saw people saying, oh, he needs to be changed to a running back. If MFL, I know we use MFL and MFL has him designated as a wide receiver.
Yep,
keep him at a wide receiver. Did we not learn what this position change stuff can do and cause fights and whatnot? But yeah, if you can get him, ironically, he's owned in less than 50% of leagues. So
weird.
If you're in a league, I don't know why I know that, but if you're in a league where he's not rostered, go pick him up.
Okay. We'll talk about him later, I feel like.
I mean, I think so. You can start it's a cheat code. You're allowed to start a running back at wide receiver. I'm in.
Okay. Texans head coach David Culley probably confirmed that QB Davis Mills will start in week 3 against the Panthers. Mills was shaky in place of Tyrod Taylor last week against the Browns. The rookie completed 8 of 18 attempts for 102 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Mills, who appeared oblivious to oncoming rushers for much of Week 2's appearance, makes Carolina's defense an elite Week 3 option in all formats, according to RotoWorld.com.
Stop rotoing. Start NBC Sports Edging.
The Texans should be forced to drop back quite a bit against a Carolina secondary that most recently shut down Jameis Winston and the Saints. In related news, Texans wide receiver Danny Amendola isn't expected to play Thursday. Matt, your take.
Who would you rather have? What defense would you rather have, the Raiders or the Panthers?
Panthers. Panthers on a Thursday night game? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Panthers should be the number one, like, streaming defense this week, if you ask me.
Wow.
Panthers are going to absolutely crush the Texans.
The Texans are going to run the ball and just slowly
rush the Texans. Texans aren't going to win. Like, Texans, I would not be surprised if the Texans have less than 10 points for the game.
I wouldn't either. I just think they're going to run the ball, keep the clock running, and just get in and get out, say bye.
Yeah, they have to know that week one was a complete fluke. Absolute fluke.
They're still like first overall pick favorites, right?
Very much. Very much so. Yeah. Very much so. It should be noted, reports are saying Tyrod Taylor could be sidelined for the next 4 games or more. So buckle.
Yeah. Davis Mills. Yeah. Get them to that first overall pick, baby. That's why they drafted you.
Cowboys governor Jerry Jones said he's hopeful Amari Cooper can play in week 3 against the Eagles. Quote, I don't know today, Jones said when That's asked terrible. About the injury Cooper suffered Sunday.
Kind of more like Mike Chargers. McCarthy than Jerry Jones.
I'm hopeful those ribs can get comfortable enough to play Monday night, said Jones. Fantasy managers could be in a tough spot this weekend if the team hasn't cleared Cooper to suit up for Monday night football. He could be a game time call depending on his practice participation late in the week. Cooper drafters will want to pick up an Eagles or Cowboys player who they could play if Cooper is inactive. Dallas wide receiver Cedric Wilson, who ran 19 routes and saw 2 targets in week 2, is available in more than 90% of leagues, according to Roto World. Matt, what do you think?
I think this is going to hurt to say. Mm-hmm. It really is. And I don't know if you know where I'm going with this, but I think Pollard is the guy here. If Cooper's out, Pollard steps into the wide receiver. I mean, obviously he's a running back, but they're manufacturing touches for him as well.
I don't think it's a bad idea to roster Cedric Wilson just in general. Just in general. With Gallup down and banged up, Cedric Wilson's worth rostering. If you're somebody that has Amari Cooper, I mean, you should
be not going to start him.
You don't think so?
I would rather start Cordarrelle Patterson than Cedric Wilson.
We're not going to play that game. What we're saying is if you have Amari Cooper and you have the roster space, you should try to get somebody like Cedric Wilson on your roster in case it comes time for Monday Night Football and you need just points better than that goose egg. The Monday Night Football is really the
– You don't want to pick up Travis Fulgham?
No, I do not. But I would certainly trade him. Cedric Wilson, I think, is you could do a lot worse on Monday Night Football than Cedric Wilson.
Yeah, I just wouldn't. I wouldn't play with fire there. I'd find someone else on Sunday to play, then wait Monday and see what happens.
Eagles Cowboys on Monday Night Football, all bets are off. They really are. That game could go a number of different ways.
Dallas is going to throw for 500 yards.
Let's stick with the Cowboy news. Matt, I want to read you a blurb from NBC Sports Edge.
Oh.
I've been predicting for weeks. I've been banging this drum, and I was so excited to see this. I'm going to just read it verbatim, okay? You ready?
Okay.
Ezekiel Elliott rushed 16 times for 71 yards and a touchdown in the Cowboys' Week 2 win over the Chargers. Zeke improved upon his 39-yard outing in week 1, but only brought more concerns along with him. He gave up 13 carries and 3 targets to Tony Pollard, who turned that volume into 140 yards from scrimmage. Zeke added just 26 yards on 2 receptions. Pollard has outplayed Zeke through 2 weeks and could push for a consistent role if Elliott continues to look sluggish. Elliott will need to shut out Pollard against the Eagles in week 3 to reclaim his running back 1 status. If Pollard, I know it's Pollard.
I was like, you called him 3 different names in this blurb.
If Pollard steals reps from him again, Zeke could be moved into running back 2 territory. Matt, your response.
Do you know why Tony Pollard looks good?
Please.
Because teams don't focus on Tony Pollard. They focus on Zeke.
I see.
So when Zeke's in, they're like, we got to stop Zeke. And then they give a sweep handoff to Pollard and he goes for 40 because they're like, that guy's trash.
Yeah. Because that's how NFL defenses work. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They got to focus on Amari and Thede.
Right.
And Dak.
And they don't have to focus on those other guys while Zeke is on the in the backfield.
Right? They focus on Zeke, but then Pollard's on the field too, and they're like, he's the worst of the bunch.
We're
put a lot of focus on him.
Okay.
And sweep.
Gotcha. Okay. Understood.
Remember how Jason Garrett would always call screenplays?
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy is just always calling jet sweeps.
Hmm.
To Tony.
Tony P. I see. And that hurts Zeke. How?
It doesn't hurt Zeke.
Oh. Okay. Okay. So I guess it's just
Tony Pollard is a better option than Zeke. No. I know you do.
Is your opinion
the world knows you do.
Is your opinion of Zeke? I think at this point, at this juncture, Tony Pollard gives that team the best chance to win. Absolutely.
As the starting running back?
Stop. I'm not saying that Zeke is washed. Well, I am saying he's washed. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be involved at all, but I want to see me some Tony.
We saw Tony Pollard lead the backfield last year for, 3-4 games, and he did nothing.
Different season.
Nothing.
Different team. Let me ask you this way. Let's because you're really hard-headed about this whole thing. You're not seeing what literally everyone else is seeing. And okay. I get it. You're a busy.
It's hard to be a trailblazer, but someone's got to do it.
Sure. If you could compare your opinion of Ezekiel Elliott now to where he was, or to where your opinion of him was 2 weeks ago, would it be like your opinion's higher or lower of Zeke now?
What 2 weeks ago, I think I said my hot take was he finishes the RB1.
Yeah.
Are you still there? I think he'll still fit. I don't think. Would it shock me if he finishes the RB1?
Yes.
No.
Shut up. Yes.
It wouldn't shock me. But
I'm going to be shocked if he finishes as an RB12 or more.
He's going to finish as a running back 1. He does it every year. He's in one of the best offenses in the league.
Okay.
Whatever.
I think you're crazy.
Has my opinion of him dropped? Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm not as confident in him finishing as the RB1 as I was 2 weeks ago. Do I think Tony Pollard is a real threat to take over that backfield? Absolutely not.
They're not going to let him take over the backfield. But I do think that you're going to see a much more even split for a while. And I think that if you were somebody that took Ezekiel Elliott where you had to take him, that's a disappointing, turn of events.
Yeah, I've got Zeke in a redraft league.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of good running backs, though, Aaron Jones rushed 17 times for 67 yards and 1 touchdown in the Packers' Week 2 win over the Lions, adding 6 catches for 48 yards and 3 touchdowns on 6 targets.
And he lost his necklace or his urn. The thing that had his dad's ashes in it.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't hear about that at all.
Oh, yeah. He has a little football medallion necklace thing that has his dad's ashes in it.
Yeah.
He lost it in the end zone. He thought after touchdown 2. Happy to report they found it at 2 o'clock in the morning after searching Lambeau, and they found it. So he got it back. But
why would you wear that?
Because he's carrying his dad with him because it was the first home game after his dad passed away or something. ESPN was all over it. They love talking about dead parents.
See, I must have missed that. I must have missed that completely. I don't think I had the audio on when I was like, we had something going on. Anyways, with the Packers getting clobbered 38-3 in week one and Jones posting just 9 rushing yards and 22 yards total in that embarrassing loss, we were all expecting the Packers to come out and put it on the Lions.
Denominate.
All three big-time skill guys answered the call as Jones caught touchdowns from 4, 1, and 11 yards before adding a 1-yard touchdown plunge into the fourth quarter as the cherry on top. He was the fantasy week winner. Jones handled 23 of 31 backfield touches in the victory. Anything else you want to add there, Matt?
Is there a question there?
No question. Aaron Jones. I mean, Aaron Jones is he's kind of good.
There was some talk about A.J. Dillon taking over the backfield, and they let Jamal Williams walk, and now A.J. Dillon and his thighs are there, and I'm not worried at all.
This coming week, the Packers are going to play the 49ers, which are a much better team than the Lions. Yes. The line in Vegas is actually the Packers plus 4. They're 4-point.
Whoa. Numbers. Really?
Yep.
You put your money on the Packers?
I don't think I'm going to. I think I'm going to fade it completely. I probably won't touch it, but like if I did, I think I'd rather have the Niners.
Niners minus 4. Wow.
Yeah, at home. Here's why. We have seen the Packers look really, really, really good for 2 quarters in 2 games. The first game, they looked absolutely atrocious. And then against the Lions, that first half was not great. Did you watch it?
I did.
It was not great. The Lions were neck and neck with them and had a very realistic
chance of winning. The Lions came out and kind of punched them in the nose.
Yeah, and I remember at the halftime, when the halftime started, the broadcaster was like, I know Packer fans were thinking this is the get right game and they're gonna come in here, but this is a dog fight. It totally was a dog fight.
Yeah.
And then they didn't
adjust. How many overs did you hit though? Didn't you bet overs?
Yes.
Yeah. And you hit them all.
I bet the Packers to cover the 12. That cashed. There wasn't a lot of sweat to that one.
No. I thought you did over unders for Rodgers and Jones and
they didn't hit. Actually, they had Rodgers' line set at 300. I don't think he passed for 300 yards. And then I had Devontae Adams scoring twice, and that didn't happen. He didn't even score once. Had 100 yards, but
Aaron Jones all day. Yeah. AJ.
They just couldn't cover the running back. Josh Allen has completed 33.3% of his pass attempts of 10 to 25 yards through week 2. That marks a massive drop-off from Allen's intermediate passing accuracy in 2020, a key to his development as a passer. Last year, Allen completed 62.5% of his attempts between 10 and 25 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, a 12% improvement over his 2019 numbers. Quote, this has been by far the most significant swing of Allen's passing profile, said The Athletic's Joe
Probably.
While some throwaways need to be accounted for, this is still not what you want to see. Allen's adjusted completion rate as measured by Pro Football Focus has also dipped in the young 2021 season. His adjusted completion rate stands at 69.4%, about 10% lower than his 2020 rate. Matt, I have to ask, are these reasons to be concerned about Josh Allen?
I mean, I think it's always there's only been – whenever there's a QB1, usually the QB1 stands for years. And that's where we're at with Mahomes. And I can't think of the last time there was a consistent QB2 for 2 or 3 seasons. These guys come up, they're hot. Oh, Josh Allen's a QB2 this offseason. And then he comes out and does this. There was always concern about his accuracy coming out of college. Last year, he kind of proved that wrong. And this year, we're back to, well, wait a minute. What do we see? Now he's a rushing quarterback. He's the best running back they've got. I know people are going to say, well, Zach Moss scored 2 touchdowns. Yeah, in garbage time, at the goal line, whatever. So I think that's what gives him his appeal. But the accuracy issues concern me. Do they concern you?
No, this is such a blip on the radar. You know what I mean? Like, it could end up looking that way when we look back. Like, it's so young into the season. I'm not worried.
Dude got paid and now he's having issues. You don't think?
No. I mean, if I'm a Josh Allen, like, governor, I wouldn't be even like entertaining the thought of trading him right now. Hold on. The dude has shown us he can be an elite quarterback. Fantasy
wouldn't trade him for
maybe for Travis Fulgham. That's about it.
Maybe. I'm trying to think of an up and coming, not yet paid quarterback. Like, Dak got paid, but he got hurt, so he's got to come back off the injury and prove that he's legit worth it. I don't know.
Moving on. Speaking of quarterbacks, let's pivot. We're gonna pivot, Matt. We're gonna go over to the Jags.
Mm.
Trevor Lawrence.
Can I stop you real quick?
Go ahead.
We watched the Jags game, and my daughter asked where the Jaguars were.
What the fuck are we watching?
That's the only game on. We watched the Olympics, and she's like, where are the Jaguars, Daddy? I said, they're in Florida. Is that in America? Yeah, I want them to win. Go America. And I was like, okay, dear, but they're like, everyone is in America. Nope, just the Jaguars. So, Jaguars, you're in America.
That's great.
Trevor Lawrence. And they like Trevor Lawrence because he has long hair.
Of course.
I don't understand this long hair thing. Does your daughter like guys with long hair?
No.
Okay.
She only likes her dad. That's it.
Oh, well, lucky.
And her brother, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence leads the NFL with a 36% uncatchable pass rate through week two. 36%.
Look at that. He's leading the NFL.
Uncatchable passes. No starting quarterback has been more inaccurate than Lawrence through his first two NFL games, which has seen the number one overall pick average 5.4 yards per attempt. That's crazy. The second lowest behind only Andy Dalton, which is not good company. Jacksonville's offense has struggled mightily in its first two games of the Lawrence era outside of an impressive opening week two drive against the Broncos. Lawrence and the Jags will once again be forced to do pass heavy game script this week against Arizona. Matt, you gotta like Arizona this week.
Why is it the Lawrence era and not the Urban Meyer era?
I know, right? I was
because
reading,
when this I read is not that, Urban.
Like, man, that's not really fair.
This isn't Lawrence's team. Lawrence is going to outlast Urban.
Trevor Lawrence has never lost a game in his football career until he got to the NFL and met Urban Meyer.
That's not true. He lost two in college. He lost a championship game to Alabama.
Who's the quarterback that there's a was it Tua? No, it wasn't Tua.
He lost two games in college.
Did he?
It's super impressive, but he lost two games in college. He lost to Ohio State and he lost to Bama in the championship. So anyway, yeah.
I wonder if it was Tua. No, it couldn't have been
Trevor Lawrence.
Anyways.
Are you concerned? He's nobody.
No, not yet. It's too young. He's going to get the
one on anybody's team.
He's going to get plenty of more opportunities to fail. I am really disappointed in the 5.5 yards per attempt. Like, that's god awful. You got to let the dude throw it. I just think it's more coaching than the quarterback, but
he's got to throw to LaVisca and he's going to throw to Marvin Jones. But they've only ran, here's a dad stat for you, ran 3 plays in the red zone in 2 weeks.
Bro, you killed it. That was my next story.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I was gonna say the Jags don't have a rushing attempt inside the opponent's 20-yard line this season through 2 games.
Yeah.
Not a single rush attempt inside the red zone.
How bad?
The Jags have breached the red zone once through week two. NFL teams have combined for 266 rushing attempts in the red zone alone through 2 weeks. That's according to ESPN's Mike Clay. A dozen teams have at least 10 runs in the red zone. 12 teams have at least 10 runs in the red zone. The Jags have 0.
They're bad.
Bad's not even like the right word. Like, that's totally coaching. That's totally coaching in game.
Who would you rather be, the Jaguars or the Houston Texans?
God.
One's going to have the number one overall pick, and one has Trevor Lawrence.
One has Florida weather.
One has Texas weather.
Yeah, but you got to deal with, I guess you got to deal with a lot of crazy people in Florida, too. Florida's pretty bad.
People don't say Texas, man.
I'd rather just put a 22 in my mouth. NFL Network's Ian Rapoport reports that Carson Wentz sprained both ankles in week two against the Rams. Wentz, per Rapoport, will undergo testing to determine the severity of the injuries. Jacob Eason finished the Colts week two loss after Wentz exited the contest with his injuries, completing 2 of 5 passes for 25 yards and a pick. Wonderful. The entire Indy offense would be in serious trouble if Eason were forced into the starting role next week against Tennessee. Matt, spraining both of your ankles in the same game. What the fuck?
It's like waking up in the morning when you're not an NFL starter.
Like, if you had to pick one, like, NFL quarterback that you would say, oh, that guy's totally capable of spraining both of his ankles in the same game, it would totally
be Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor. Totally
no. Carson Wentz just looks like the kind of guy that's just, like, going to get hurt, like, just, like, riding a bike. Like, just seriously injured for the season. Just
he's going to try and play. He's going to try and play.
I would, too. His career is literally on the line this season. You'd have to hold me back. He better be out there.
You know who else wants him to be out there?
Pittman.
The Philadelphia Eagles, because plays.
That's true. Very true. Oh. I want to play one little game with you real fast, and then we're going to go on to Redshaw Renegades, okay?
Okay.
I call this game Sink or Swim.
Okay.
I'm going to name guys that are off to rough starts for the first 2 weeks of the season, and you're going to tell me if they're going to continue to sink and just kind of stay where they're at, or if they're going to turn it around, and that'll be swim. Okay? You understand?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. James Robinson, sink or swim.
I'm going to throw this one for a wrench. I would rather have James Robinson long term, but I don't think he's going to turn it around right away because he plays for the Jaguars.
How about Tua? Tua, turn the ball over.
Turn the ball. Sink.
Ooh, Big Ben.
Swim.
Oh, I'm against you. Saquon Barkley.
He's going to swim. He's coming. He's played 2 games after a torn ACL.
Allen Robinson.
Swim. He's getting Justin Fields.
Kenny Galladay.
Sink, because he's got Danny Dimes and Clapper.
Brandon Ayuk.
Oh, man, I'm staying away. So, sink.
Zach Ertz.
Sink.
Mike Gesicki.
Sink.
Okay.
So, I like Allen Robinson and Barkley all to bounce back those two.
Renshaw Renegades, here we go.
Okay, one of these guys we've talked about, Mr. C. Pat Cordero Patterson. I'm absolutely all over this one. He's rostered in 48% of leagues, so it's just under that 50% threshold. But go get him. You're getting a cheat code. You're getting to play a running back in a wide receiver position. Give me all of it. The next one, I think, he's on our cutting room floor here, but Quintez Cephas, wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. Dude has been involved. He caught a touchdown pass last week, looks to be the Lions wide receiver one, which is obviously behind TJ Hockenson and DeAndre Swift, but 46% of leagues is available. So I'm picking up both these guys. And if you're in a bind, you can absolutely start either one of them this week.
Perfect. I love it. I love the Cephas one.
All right. Let's hear the Justin's DFS playbook.
Okay. Last week, I told you all to roll Dallas as the stack, and it wasn't great if you didn't include CD Lamb. I told everybody to take Amendola for value, and of course, he gets hurt. Loving my role right now. My contrarian play, though, was Najee Harris.
Jesus.
Yeah, he did great. Had a solid game, and depending on format, you should have done okay there. For this week, let's see. There are a lot of fun stacks to play, actually. You have to like the Cardinals. You have to like the Broncos. But me, personally, I'm all over the Ravens versus Detroit. The prices are really wild on DraftKings, so you'll have to get a little weird, but I'm going to be heavy on this team Sunday with all sorts of mix and matching going on. Lamar Jackson is the third most expensive quarterback on the slate this week, but it's such a good spot for him. I think anybody could really justify it. I also think that a lot of people are going to shy away from the $500 discount that from Williams to Murray, but at $5,300 in a game that could be over by the third quarter, I'll happily take Murray and hope for a score. Marquise Brown at $5,600 could be in my value section this week because Lamar is always looking his way first. $5,600 is just plain incorrect to me. It is far too low for the matchup. And with Sammy Watkins only trailing by $100, government ship is going to be low. So don't be afraid to mix him in either. Devin Duvernay at $3,900 is also a solid dart throw in your lineup. Mark Andrews at $5,000 is a little strange to me. That places him as the tight end five for pricing. And well, he just really hasn't done anything to deserve that. It's just a great matchup for him. Could definitely blow up, but yeah, I don't think he's a must for any kind of stack. Value is really easy to find this week, especially at running back. Clyde Edwards-Helaire at $4,800 at home versus the Chargers is someone that should be used heavily in your lineups. The Chargers have allowed the third most points to opposing running backs, so you have a soft matchup, and CEH is $2,000 cheaper than he's been the last 2 weeks on DraftKings. Add to that the fact that a lot of players have been burned on him these past couple of weeks, so I'm expecting a slight dip there. That's a great play. Matt, contrarian plays never feel good, but that's how you know that you're doing it right. So everyone is out on the Jags. The experts are done with James Robinson. They're done with Urban Meyer. And they're also done with my player of the week, Trevor Lawrence. Lawrence is $700 cheaper than he was in week one and the 20th most expensive player at the position. Look, the Cardinals are going to win, but that doesn't mean that Lawrence can't rack up some points first. The public will be heavily on the Cardinals, and I get it. They should be, but going with the public ain't going to win you no ducats, baby. Fade the public, roll with sunshine. That's all I got.
I don't win ducats.
Well, yeah.
But I do like CEH long-term. He's definitely going to swim.
I don't like anyone long-term, but.
And this week.
All right, man. That's the show. That's all I got. We're running low on time. We got to get out of here.
Action-packed.
Action-packed. That's the word I would use for sure. All right, man. Well, until next week, guys. For Matt, I'm Justin. Dynasty Dads, brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
And we're out.
We out.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Dads. Visit us at our website, DynastyDads.com, for articles, news, and notes, Dynasty Dads gear, and more.